From Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Well, welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show here on FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after the hour. Hour number three underway. Thank you so much for listening. Still to come on the program, we'll talk to Yellowhammer News' Sean Ross. That's at the bottom of the hour. Also taking your text, 251-343-0106. Joining us on the line now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest. He's very gracious to come on these airways, talk to this audience. But Congressman Gary Palmer from the 6th Congressional District represents the areas around Birmingham. Congressman, how are you this morning?
I'm well, Jeff.
Hey, thank you for doing this once again. Let's get right into it. You know, since we talked the last, we're now sort of kind of getting back to normal procedures. Well, not always normal because of COVID-19, obviously, but the crazy season of politics seems to be behind of election politics seems to be behind us, and now you got some committees, committee assignments underway. Well, walk us through that. Do you get the sense maybe there is a return to normal operating procedures?
Well, not yet. We're still meeting in virtual committee hearings. We had one yesterday. And it's really an odd situation where the witnesses are not there in front of you and your colleagues aren't there.
Is that it's still, I guess, being in the minority and having to take the approach where, you know, there's not a whole lot you could do to slow things down. You can run some interference, but it does seem like you got to take that, I guess, that same approach you've been taking for the last 2 years, except this time you got to be building toward what would ultimately be, I would assume, the 2022 midterms.
Well, there's a lot of things that I think we can do to slow down the Biden agenda. And even the New York Times, as left-wing as they are, think he's gone too far with all these executive orders. But we're looking at what we can do utilizing existing federal law, but ultimately, whatever the Democrats want to pass through the House, they're going to be able to pass it because it's just a math issue. They outnumber us, although I think we're very close to picking up another Republican in the 22nd District, New York. I think a judge is about to certify that election, and Claudia Tenney will be declared the winner. So we will be within five of having the majority.
Well, and you know, whenever you hear Leader McCarthy talk about controlling the floor, he still thinks that there are ways, because Pelosi's got to make sure she keeps all her ducks in a row and she has all her votes there, that if something goes astray or whatever it may be, the margins are so thin that there are opportunities, at least, for Republicans to capitalize in certain circumstances.
There are on some things, but I don't know that we will be able to stop her effort to federalize all elections. I think that'll get stopped in the Senate. At least I'm praying it will. And, you know, I'm hoping that Senator Manchin or Senator Sinema from Arizona will not support some of the election reforms that she's pushing, but they're using budget reconciliation to push through some of their big ticket agendas. I think there'll be a tax increase, and which if they do it through budget reconciliation, the filibuster doesn't apply over in the Senate. And the only way we could stop that is if Manchin or Sinema, one of those two or both of those two, voted against it.
Congressman, talk about when we were talking right after the election. You know, obviously the presidential election didn't go the way a lot of us had hoped, but there seemed to be kind of an optimism that you know we're so close and we could just hold on to Georgia. There's reasons to be looking up. Things could be trending up. Don't let the presidential election get you folks too down. But after Georgia and that loss there, you don't have the firewall in place with the Senate anymore. But what does seem to kind of be the attitude among you and your colleagues? Are you still somewhat optimistic or hopeful that that things will eventually go your way?
Well, I think in 2022 we're going to get the majority back in both houses, but of course the Biden administration will have 2 years left. But here's the thing that concerns me is that I believe that we've got the right agenda, we've got the right ideas, but I'm not sure people fully understand what it means when we're in the minority. We don't have a voice. Pelosi literally determines how many people can be on committees. And she picks the committee chairman. They determine when the committees meet, what the topic is, who the witnesses are. They determine what legislation gets to the floor or what amendments are allowed. We have no power. And the loss of the Senate seats was the most discouraging. I mean, it was incredibly discouraging to lose the presidency, but then to lose those two Senate seats. And it was because there were 200,000 people who voted in November for those senators, didn't bother to come out and vote, and they were mostly rural Georgians. There were also 150,000 Democrats who didn't bother to vote, but that 50,000 vote difference determined the outcome of those two races. And that's where we are. And I'm not sure that we've done a good enough job communicating to people, first of all, how our government is set up as three branches, and that having President Trump as president doesn't mean that he was all powerful. His last 2 years in office were dominated by the Russia hoax and impeachment. And most of what he was able to do, he had to do through executive order because we didn't have a majority. And I think we lost the majority because in 2016, there were 8 million people who hadn't voted in years or had never voted, came out and voted for President Trump, but they didn't bother to vote in 18. And if they had, we would have kept the majority. The Russia hoax would have been a big nothing. He wouldn't have been impeached. And I think we would have handled COVID differently, and instead of executive orders, we would have been passing bills. And I think he would have been reelected. But people have got to understand how important it is to vote down the ballot and to have the majorities in the House and Senate.
Well, you know, I hear from listeners all the time that they are very down. Some of them have the attitude, why even bother to vote? And I think that's unhealthy, and I disagree with it, but it does seem like it's a problem that there's going to have to be an effort by Republicans to at least say, hey, look, you got to do this. This is the right thing to do. Don't give up hope yet.
Well, that's the point I've been trying to make, is that we've got to use every tool that's available to us to fight this agenda, but people are going to find out how important it is to vote. They're already seeing it. There's, in the first 2 weeks of the Biden administration, he has destroyed 1 million jobs. 11,000 of them were related to the Keystone Pipeline. He's issued 40 executive orders, that the impact of which hasn't been felt yet, but it will. They're going to see it in the price they pay at the pump for gas. They're going to see it in their household utility bills. They're going to see it in the amount of taxes they have to pay. And we've got to fight that every step of the way, but the American people have got to realize that they have a responsibility to get out and vote and make sure that these people don't ruin the country.
Well, and here's what happens historically, at least. You're no stranger to this, but you know the phenomenon. You get a Democrat in the White House, or a Republican for that matter, and then the next midterm, it's a big year for the party that's you know, that's not in power. But in the interim there, it does seem like you do have kind of a bubbling up. I'll go back to 94 with Newt Gingrich and the contract with America. There seemed to be the wave was coming. And we can always look back at 2009, 2010, and that whole Tea Party phenomenon that really carried Republicans to election wins in 2010. 2021 and into 2022, building something like that, what do you think that's going to look like? Is it going to really be talking about these issues like the jobs, the regulations, everything Democrats want to do, head toward maybe some dark places and countering that?
I think there's going to be a tidal wave, but I want to go back to what happened in 2009. We lost the majority in the House in 06, and the Democrats kept it in 08 when Obama won. And we had probably the biggest switch in House seats in history in 2010, but it was too late. They had already passed Obamacare, and the House had already passed cap and trade, but the filibuster in Senate killed it. What I'm concerned about is what they're going to be able to do in these first two years before we get to the 22 election. That said, there's 34 governor races that will be on the ballot in 22. There'll be 30-something states electing their state legislatures, plus the House and Senate races in the U.S. Congress. And I think that we're going to have a huge turnaround there that will sweep the Democrats out of power. And it'll set us up for 2024. And one other point I'll make about that, Jeff, is that how important this is for getting the election laws straightened out at the state level before 2024.
Well, Congressman, and here's something that I hear this from listeners. It kind of goes back to the why even bother, but when we were looking in these past elections, we got to repeal Obamacare. We got to do more with the border and immigration. You know the issues, and Republicans run on them. Then in 2017, when you have the House, the Senate, and the White House, none of it gets accomplished. You get a tax cut through the Jobs Act. I think that's a very important accomplishment. But that being said, all these things that have been talked about for the last several years kind of get left. Do you worry about that being does that cross your mind? Because right now we're talking about all the things we got to stop and what we need to do maybe to roll it back. But if you get in power, how far are you willing to take it to roll some of it back, I guess?
Well, the first thing I like to point out is that in the House, we passed repeal of Obamacare. We passed a bill that set up a new healthcare system. It included coverage for pre-existing conditions. I wrote the amendment that covered pre-existing conditions. It included block granting Medicaid funding to the states instead of it all coming through the federal government. It went to the Senate and went down by one vote, and that was John McCain. And what people forget is we only had 53 Republicans in the Senate. Susan Collins and Murkowski from Alaska voted no, and at 2:30 in the morning, John McCain voted no. So I think it's unfair for people to put that on us that we didn't deliver, and particularly in the House, because we did. Going forward, we still have the issue of the filibuster, and right now we're glad it's there. But it's a double-edged sword. In this next election, if we get control of the House and we increase our margin, it will get the control of the Senate back. Unless it's just a tidal wave in which we get 60 Republicans in the Senate, the filibuster is still going to be an issue, which limits our ability to move legislation. Plus, you've got a Democrat in the White House who won't sign it. So, again, I think there's a bit of a civics lesson that that we need to engage in to make sure people understand how the system works and how, why it is so important for the grassroots and regular people to register to vote and get out and vote to give us the margins that we need to govern.
Congressman, we got to leave it there, but thank you very much for making offering a few minutes of your time this morning. And we need to do this again real soon.
I always appreciate you having me on, Jeff. You do a great job.
Thank you, Congressman. That's Congressman Gary Palmer of Alabama's 6th Congressional District. Very kind of him to say that. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.